Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Isaiah 59, verse 19 reads, "So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives." Acts 2, verse 2 reads, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Job 38, 1 reads, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." Psalm 104, verse 3, "Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind?" 2 Samuel 22, 11, "And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind." We need the wind of God. We need the wind of the Spirit of God. Now, we know the natural force of natural wind. We know the influence of natural wind. We know what it can stir up. We know what it can do. Wind is powerful. Wind brings change. Wind affects things. Our Lord comes as wind, with power that is beyond the power of any natural wind we have experienced or witnessed. The wind of the Lord clears things away. The wind of the Lord is a rescue, and the wind of the Lord is a refuge. The wind of the Lord purges. The wind of the Lord is freedom. We all need the wind of the Lord. We all need the wind of the Spirit of God. I enjoy running. I run year-round, outdoors. And this past December, I was making my way around and I ran by this one particular tree and I saw this plastic bag hanging in the top. I didn't think much of it. Continued on. Next time I made my way out and there was that plastic bag hanging on for dear life. Every time I'd pass the tree, I'd notice the bag still there, still hanging on. And the snow began to melt away, and as the seasons changed from winter to spring, still that bag remained. Days that were windy, substantial wind, still the bag did not dislodge from the tree. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "There are things that only the wind of God can deal with." And I thought about our own lives. There are things that only the wind of God can deal with. There are things that only the wind of the Spirit can deal with, can dislodge. See, natural wind cannot dislodge what the wind of God can dislodge. Natural wind cannot clear away what the Word and the wind of God can clear away. We all need the wind of God moving upon our lives, upon our homes, upon our businesses, upon every activity. We need the wind of God. We need the wind of God that brings freedom. We need the wind of God that brings proving. We need the wind of God that purges. Number one tonight, the wind of the Lord purges. Baggage. winter baggage. The only wind that can dislodge it and blow it away is the wind of God. Otherwise, it lingers for a long, long time. And every time we pass that point, there it is waving at us in the natural wind. And I hear the Spirit saying to us tonight that the only hope, getting rid of some of that baggage, of seeing that baggage that is clinging on, that is hanging on, and has been hanging on for far too long, our only hope is the wind of the Spirit. It's the wind of God. It's not natural wind. It's not natural wind that this world would offer us, but our only hope is the wind of God. To purge is to get rid of opponents or remove something undesirable. It's to free somebody from guilt or sin. You know, the truth is, natural wind will never get rid of the baggage. Natural wind can't deal with the guilt. Natural wind can't deal with the shame. Our only hope is the wind of God. We need the wind of the Lord to blow across our lives, getting rid of the opponents that continue to hang on and taunt us, blowing away the guilt and the shame, for he who the Son sets free is free. Isaiah 43:25, it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. I want to encourage all of us this evening to call on the wind of God, that the wind of God would blow across our life and purge our life of the things that are hanging on and weighing us down. That we would cry out that that winter baggage, that baggage would be stripped from our life, that it would be dislodged. That when we pass these points again, we see freedom. You see, even a plastic bag can become a heavy weight as it hangs on season after season. The wind of God is our only hope. Number two, the wind of the Lord deals with our enemies. Exodus 14, verses 21 and 22. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the enemy wouldn't let go. The enemy wouldn't give up. We know the story, verses 26 to 31. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. God does a thorough work. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The wind of the Lord delivers, and the wind of the Lord deals with our enemies. This is the God we serve. Again, we're not talking about a natural wind, because a natural wind cannot deal with our enemies. Only the wind of the Lord can properly deal with our enemies. The wind of the Lord enables us to cross over, and then at his word, our enemies are overthrown. If it wasn't for the wind of God, we would be trapped and we would be consumed. And so we cry out for the wind of God. We submit our lives to it. The wind of God deals with our enemies. Sometimes the enemy is our own rebellion. Think of Jonah. The wind of the Lord stopped his little wayward journey. Stopped him in his tracks. The wind of the Lord went after the ship that he had boarded to flee from the presence of the Lord, to get away from the call of God. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. This wind, this appearing of the Lord, was grace and mercy. Grace and mercy chasing down a runner. Chasing down the disobedient, chasing down the one who was trying to escape from God, from the call. One of the great enemies of our Christian lives is caution. One of the great enemies of Christianity, I would say, is caution. Throw caution to the wind. We've all heard this statement. And if it were only that easy. Unnecessary caution. Caution that holds us back, caution that cripples us, caution that keeps us from the destiny of God. Throw caution to the wind. Listen, the only place our caution belongs is in the wind of the Holy Ghost. Will we throw it there? Don't hold it close. Throw it to the wind. That you'd be held back no longer, crippled no longer. The destinies would be realized. We must throw caution to the wind of the Holy Spirit and embrace what the Lord would seek to do. Psalm 107, verse 25, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. Psalm 135, verse 7, he brings the wind out of his treasuries. Thank the Lord for the wind that deals with our enemies. Thank the Lord for the wind that deals with our own rebellion. Thank the Lord for the wind that deals with our unnecessary caution. We all need the wind of God. Number three, the wind of the Lord brings dead things to life. Things that look impossible and are in the natural. Ezekiel 37, verses 9 and 10, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Things that look impossible and are perfect candidates for the wind of God. Things that look impossible in the natural and are perfect candidates for the wind of God. Dead relationships, dead bodies, dead lives, dead souls, dead businesses, dead hearts, dead marriages. Nothing is impossible. We are talking about miracle wind that brings dead things to life. And whether we believe in this wind or not doesn't change the fact that it's real. And it's available to all of us. And God is desiring to breathe. God is desiring to come from the four winds and breathe life, that the dead things would rise, that dead things would live again. Number four, the wind of the Lord proves things. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. All that we fashion, all that we build, our commitment to his words, his ways, his directions, his commandments, building what he has called us to build upon the foundation that he has called us to build upon. You see, testing will come. Proving will come. The wind proving the staying power of our life, the staying power of our home, the staying power of our character. The truth is, we are all proven on this side of eternity. The winds come to prove our lives. Natural winds come to prove our lives. The wind of God comes to prove. We're all proven on this side of eternity. Natural winds come and they prove the foundation and the makeup of our lives. Now we know that it is possible for the unbeliever to stand against natural winds, but when the wind of God comes to prove, only that which is founded right and built right stands in the wind. Number five, the wind of the Lord is proof that God remembers us. Proof that God remembers us. Genesis 8:1 reads, "Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided." I just love this, and I want to keep it simple. When his wind comes and the waters subside, it's such a beautiful reminder to us that the Lord remembers us. That he has not forgotten us, but that he remembers us. And maybe you just need to hear that tonight, that the Lord remembers you. And the wind is coming. The wind is being released out of his treasuries. The wind is coming from heaven. That the waters would subside, and you'd remember that God remembers you. Number six, the wind of the Lord delivers power. Acts 2:2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." The Amplified reads, "When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting." The Passion Translation, "Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering it was all anyone could bear." And the voice reads, "Picture yourself among the disciples." A sound roars from the sky without warning. The roar of a violent wind, and the whole house where you are gathered reverberates with the sound. The wind of the Lord comes in power and delivers power. This is not just some account that we read about that lived then and was real then. But this is God's desire for our lives now. This is God's heart for His church now. More than ever, we need this encounter and this experience. As those living and closest to His return, we need this experience. We need the wind of God to come in power and to deliver power. Power that is not of this world, but that changes this world. Power that affects our world, that changes who we are, that changes our homes, changes our outlook, changes our focus, changes our direction, changes everything. That comes in power and delivers power. We're talking here about the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus knew that we needed the power of the Holy Ghost. He told those that were closest to Him that they needed the power of the Holy Ghost. That they needed this wind of God. They needed this miracle wind to come in power and deliver power. And that's still His heart for every single one of us. That His wind would come in power and deliver power. And no matter what we believe tonight, or what we grew up believing, it's in the text. And it's plain as day. He said, "Go and wait, tarry." Because you need the wind, you need the Spirit, you need this Holy Spirit to come in power and deliver power. Now, if those closest to Jesus living at that time needed the power of the Holy Ghost, how many know we need the power of the Holy Ghost? We need the wind of God. I think it's foolishness for us to live in this day and age and think that we're okay without that wind. Yeah, they needed it back then, but we don't need it now because we're too sophisticated. We think we can handle life without the wind of the Spirit. But the truth is, a Christian believer was never meant to handle life without the wind of the Spirit. Jesus had it in mind, and He still has it in mind, that we would experience the wind that comes in power and delivers power, because He knows we need this power that only the wind of God can bring. This power that changes everything. Acts 1, 4-8, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem." He commanded them. He didn't just say, you know, if you feel like it, if it fits your schedule, if it works for you. I mean, I think you need this, but you decide. No, he says in the text, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. You can look up that word if you want. Maybe you're thinking that's not exactly what it means. Just go for it. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. How many want the promises of the Father? And if this is one of the promises, why would we just strike it out? Why would we take it out when this is one that Jesus said, you have to, I'm commanding you to tarry and wait. I'm commanding you. I'm commanding you concerning this promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I think sometimes we get caught up in the things that perhaps don't really matter. And Jesus is saying, I'm commanding you to wait for the power of the Holy Ghost, because this is what you need. You need the wind of God that comes in power and delivers power. And we're saying, you know, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? We got caught up in all these other things. When he's saying, this is what the church really needs today. This is the focus. You shall receive power. The word power, strength, power, ability, inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth, power for performing miracles, moral power and excellence of soul, the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, hosts. I don't know about you, but I want the promise. I want the power. And the Bible says, be continually filled. And so the truth is, every time we come into this house, every time we gather in the presence of God, we can cry out that the wind would come. That the wind that comes in power and delivers power would be evident in the house. That this would be an ever-living experience. I don't know about you, but I need more power. More and more power. More and more power. This is the life Jesus not only had, but has in mind for all of us. His people full of power. Homes full of power. Relationships marked with power. His church, full of power. That once again, people would recognize that the church is full of power. That it would be so evident that those that don't know Jesus would walk in our midst, and they would encounter the wind that comes in power. That we might be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, in Edmonton, and in all Alberta, and in all Canada, and to the ends of the earth. Charles Spurgeon said these words, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless. We can have the worship team return tonight. Do we need the wind to purge our lives? Would we cry out that the wind would purge our lives? Maybe we've been running by the same point over and over again and we see this plastic bag hanging there. Or for you, it might be far more than a plastic bag. And you see it, you run past and go on. But then you come right back. And there it is again, waving at you in the wind. Would we cry out that the wind of God would come and purge? It's come and take it away. That we'd see it no longer, that it wouldn't halt our progress or stop us in our tracks or affect the steps we take after we see it. I think about that bag I ran past. Believe it or not, the bag is still there. I checked. And I remember running past it, and the Lord's developing this and speaking to me, and I run on, and that's all I can think about. Now, it's a good thing when it's a God thought. It's not so good when it's your own baggage. And so you pass it. And I even get the picture of a tree that's just full of life, but there's something hanging on. But you pass it, and all you can think about is that baggage. It affects things. It affects the rest of the run. Affects the rest of the day. You can't get it out of your head. You can't get it out of your mind. And we're trying to deal with it other ways, however we can, however we can manage. If I just run another mile, kilometer for Canadians, it's out of my mind. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that we would make our way and experience freedom, for he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And maybe we're here tonight, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter how long we've been at this, it doesn't matter our title or lack of title or age. If there's baggage, that's not God's design. And even if it's just a silly old plastic bag, would you accept his freedom tonight? Would you receive his freedom? Do we need the wind to deal with our enemies? We all need the wind to deal with our enemies. And if the enemy is our own rebellion, God, deal with it. Come in your mercy and your grace. If it's us like Jonah running from the call or running from the presence of the Lord, God, come and help us. Stop us before it's too late. Come with your great grace and mercy. Do we need the wind to bring dead things to life? You might be here tonight, and it seems like there's no hope. You might be here tonight, and the marriage is the issue. Or you might be here tonight, and it's your occupation, it's your business, it's your finance. I don't know what it is tonight, but you know, and the Spirit speaks. Lord, would you come, God of miracles, and bring dead things to life? Maybe you're looking over your life, and you just see a valley. You see dead bones all around. You just see them strewn, and it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's not. We might believe that tonight. It might be just so ingrained in our mind because we've gone time and time again to the valley, and we see the same thing. But it's not hopeless. Dead situations, dead circumstances, dead marriages, dead whatever it is, dead churches are perfect candidates for the wind. We need to begin to see differently. Call on the wind to come from the four winds. Call on the breath to come. Do we need the wind to prove things while we still have life and time to repent and change? The wind to prove things and show us our error. While we still have breath, so we can repent and change. Do we need the wind to remind us that God remembers us? I really feel that one right now, that there are some people here tonight. And that's what you need. You just need the wind of God to come and move right now and just remind you that God remembers you. You're at. Do we need the wind to deliver power to us? I'm going to open this up tonight. Whatever it is, feel free to come forward. Feel free to step out and press in and call on the wind of God. Any one of these areas. It's not about filling an altar. That's not it. God sees our need. And his wind is available. Lord, come and move over our lives tonight. Let the wind of God move in this place, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bring the wind out of your treasuries, oh God.